The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC here on ESPN Plus. I'm Dan Thomas. Coming up a little bit later on, in case you haven't seen it, a filthy goal for Kylian Mbappe for France. Plus, a rather spirited discussion about who should win the PFA Player of the Year. We start, though, by welcoming into the show Gab Marcotti, Shaka Hislop and Stevie Nicol. Gentlemen, you'll be surprised to know when we take a look at the Spanish newspapers, they all have a very familiar theme. Lionel Messi on the front page after that explosive interview where he said he was staying, but he wasn't happy about it. Stevie, I want to talk to you because we heard from Gab and Shaka on yesterday's show. First off, just your reaction overall.
I actually thought what he said was absolutely fantastic. He made everything very, very simple and very, very clear. Bartomeu has been lying to his face. He's backstabbed him big time. He's never going to take the club to court. He loves the club too much. He understands that he can't pay the money and he's going to play and he's going to give every single thing for Barcelona yet again. So I thought it was fantastic. We know he's an extraordinary player, but he's clearly an extraordinary person as well, because it seems as though, you know, I said the other day that for a player to go on the field carrying something like that around with him, being stabbed in the back by the president of your club, it would be impossible to produce what you're capable of. Well, I've actually changed my mind after reading his statement. I thought it was absolutely perfect. I thought if it ever showed you what sort of human being he is, he absolutely is a star. He's humble, knows exactly where he's going, where he is, what he has to do. And he's going to get on with it. I thought it was sensational.
Right then, Stevie, from Ronald Koeman's perspective, how do you handle all of this?
I think you have to take it at face value and understand and know that Messi's going to give 100%. And actually, as a coach, you can't ask any more from anybody, regardless of how good or how bad a player they are. So, you know, for him, it's a great statement as well, because he may have a problem with Bartomeu. He may have a slight problem with Koeman as well after talking to him. But Koeman knows that he's going to give every single thing on the field of play. So that from Koeman's point of view, can only be great. And clearly, from everybody else connected with Barcelona, it's great as well.
But Gabby, the issue that we've got here is the fact that you've had Ronald Koeman coming out and saying that Griezmann was played out of position under recent managers with Barcelona, yet how on earth is he going to try and get the best out of Griezmann with Messi staying? Griezmann, of course, had a bit of a shocker today, missing that penalty and a good chance in the France game.
Well, look, I mean, that's why he's there and gets paid the big bucks. There's going to be other roles for Griezmann to play. I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, with Luis Suarez leaving, obviously there's talk of Memphis Depay coming in. But, you know, you can look at having Griezmann play back as a center forward, like he did a little bit towards the end with Atletico Madrid. You can work out some other formation where perhaps Messi plays in a hole behind two strikers. You know, you do have options that you can work with. And look, if you're asked, you know, why was Griezmann so bad last season, what are you going to say? Oh, Griezmann was bad because he's not good? No, you're going to say, well, part of it, you know, you're going to spin the not his real position argument, because frankly, it's true. That is not Griezmann's natural position. So fair enough to him. I don't think we can hang Koeman out to dry for that.
Koeman absolutely 100% has to say to Griezmann, right, I'm playing you through the middle, but you better stay in the middle, because he can't go wandering around the way he normally does. He certainly the way he does for France. And if you saw him today in his sort of messy role, it was absolutely awful. I mean, he was just the fact he had Griezmann on the back of his jersey was the only reason we knew who he was. So the only way this works with Depay, Messi and Griezmann is if Koeman grabs him by the throat, probably not by the throat, but says, right, you need to stay right up the pipe, because If you don't, we're going to have nobody in the middle, up front, either in the box or Benelty running behind.
Gab, you mentioned before the possibility of Memphis Depay joining the Barcelona squad. How likely is this?
Well, the word we're getting, and this is actually from Holland people who are in and around the Dutch camp, say that both Depay and, in fact, Gini Wijnaldum as well, both of them have agreed personal terms in principle with Barcelona. Now it's a question of coming up with a fee that the clubs are gonna accept. The difficulty for Barcelona is that they still have to get some players out the door. So on the surface, it looks as if, you know, they're good to go with these guys, but they're gonna need to shift, obviously, Luis Suarez, Arturo Vidal, Rakitic, of course, already gone, and at least, you know, try to get that wage bill down a little bit. And that would green light these deals.
So, Shaka, we thought we'd play fantasy football, if you like, with Barcelona. And let's say those deals do happen. Ronaldo comes in, Depay comes in, Coutinho stays, Luis Suarez leaves. You take a look at this team, it's not bad, is it?
It's an outstanding team. On paper, it's a very, very good team. But as you mentioned before, and we've seen it with Antoine Griezmann, sometimes very talented players come into this Barcelona team and struggle to have an impact, struggle to find their rhythm. Memphis Depay, I hope he got a little bit of a wake up call with what happened at Manchester United and how he failed. I think he can be at times his biggest enemy. Sometimes his ego gets in his own way. The one thing with this Barcelona dressing room is that I don't see how Memphis Depay's ego becomes an issue. So I'm hoping we see the best of him, certainly in terms of club football and what he has to offer out wide for Barcelona. I've expressed my concerns around Antoine Griezmann. He's still an incredibly talented footballer, but we've not seen that for quite some time. Everybody else, again, it's a good team. It's a very good team. But at times, as we've seen, they've fallen short in the league, desperately short in the Champions League against good opposition. And that is the riddle that Koeman has to figure out. How do you get good players to be at their best?
Speaking of the riddle, Gab, you take a look as we asked you to put together this team. There's no place for their two most expensive signings, no Dembele or Coutinho in the starting 11.
Well, yeah, I knew somebody's going to flag this up. So look, I put Depay, Wijnaldum in there because they're new signings. The reality is, if Coutinho comes back, maybe he'll share time in the three. Maybe he's going to be in the three up front. Depay, similar issue. You've got Ansu Fati in there too, right? You expect he's going to get minutes. Just kind of assuming Dembele will be on the injury program again. Coutinho, of course, could also play in the front three. You have a whole bunch of options here, and you can only play with 11 players. And I think that is significant. But already what we're seeing, if the arrival of Pjanic, unless that was just some sort of, you know, accounting fun and games with Artur, means that they're going to go with a pass-oriented midfield. Pjanic and De Jong, at least in some games, I think, you know, that already tells us something, that this might be what they try to do. And then maybe you've got, you know, Wijnaldum doing the running and then Messi and some other combination up front. It'll be really interesting to see how the pieces fit together. I'm not sure Koeman even has a clear idea. I don't see how he could have a clear idea unless he gets to work with these players a little bit longer.
There's a lot of quality there, Stevie.
Well, on paper, absolutely. I agree 100%. Unfortunately for Barcelona, the game's not played on paper. You have to step on the field and produce. And as much as you can be positive about how great and how much ability certain individuals have, we've just spoken about how we have no idea how this is going to work with Depay, Griezmann and Messi. And we can't forget that the back five's still the same. The back five that, when under pressure, absolutely collapses. So, yeah, I can understand being positive on the ability side, but the truth of the matter is, on paper, is a different ball game than stepping on the grass and producing.
Thank you, boys. Well, some have drawn the comparison, haven't they, to Michael Jordan and The Last Dance. Sid Lowe has taken a look at that overall over on the website. Be sure to go and check it out.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's electricebikes.com.
Nations League action earlier today. Belgium taking on Denmark just 9 minutes into this one, and Denier would give the visitors the lead. You'd have to wait then until the 76th minute for the second goal. Lukaku felt he should have had a penalty. Things kind of stopped. Dries Mertens, though, is there to put it into the back of the net to give Roberto Martinez his side a 2-0 win. That means that Belgium, top of the group then, one win out of one. England also registering a victory today away against Iceland. For more on that, let's go to Craig Burley and Kay Murray.
Thank you, Dan. Would you believe it? We've got a Scotsman on set who is unhappy with what he saw from England today. But to be fair, you have every right to be disappointed, Craig Burley.
I think everybody knows I don't want to see England getting beat. I want to see good football, and that's what England can produce. Just not today. It was horrible. You know, I get it. Iceland are playing a defensive game, but it's Iceland B team, and it's Raheem Sterling and Harry Kane, and Phil Foden wins his first cap, and Jadon Sancho, this guy who's going to be going to Man United for 120 million bucks or whatever it is, and it was flat. And yeah, it might have been different if Kane's goal had stood, because it should have stood, but there's no VAR. But I just thought England had no ideas. And one of the things that we were discussing all day was Phil Foden was a guy that Southgate's looking to plug the gap when games are tight to be able to play that ball. Now, not blaming Phil Foden, because Phil Foden, when he plays more games and against better teams who, when it's more open, will see a better Phil Foden performance and Sterling and Jadon Sancho. But guess what? A lot of teams are going to do that against England, Kay. And you're going to have to figure out a way to break these teams like Iceland down. And for me, it was pretty poor.
On the flip side of it, though, you did mention Phil Foden. We saw Mason Greenwood as well also pick up his first cap. So in that sense, Gareth Southgate has said he's going to give these opportunities to these young players because there are places available next summer. And these players could perhaps carve themselves a spot on that plane next summer.
Yeah, but there's only places available if Greenwood's playing at Man United, if Foden's playing at Man City. Now, Phil Foden, when he woke up and saw Messi wasn't coming to Man City, would have probably been the happiest man on the planet yesterday, because that would have made his life even more difficult. But that being said, these guys have to play. Like Mason Mount has to play at Chelsea. They've signed a heck of a lot of new players. But they have to play well. So England have the talent, but does he have the right balance in terms of the defence and the goalkeeper, which is another scenario? But we get all that. I was just disappointed today in their general play. But I think they'll be better against Denmark. I think it's on Tuesday. I think we'll see a completely different England once we get to the Denmark game, because I think Southgate will set them down and say, listen, we won the game, but we got to play better than that.
OK, but on a flip side and a positive side of things, it was a double header that we've been on the commentary for today. Portugal with a 4-1 win over Croatia. And Portugal have so many reasons to be cheerful, Craig.
Well, we'll tell people we did everything just to make them think we've been working all day. I'm sitting here eating, putting my sandwiches down the side here, watching the boys do commentary. We looked at the Portuguese side and we thought, right, all right, disappointing for the soccer fan at home because Cristiano Ronaldo didn't play, right? And he's always a big story. But then we looked at it and we saw the side that Fernando Santos had put out, with Bruno Fernandes, who's been brilliant, with Bernardo Silva, who is excellent, with João Félix, who's struggled of late, but is clearly a great talent, and Diego Simeone has to find a way to get him playing at Atletico Madrid. And we saw then the experience of João Moutinho, and then the weary legs of Pepe at the back, who's probably sat in a nice bucket as we speak. He'll be in it all night, trying to get rid of the aches and pains. But going forward, they were immense. And I think, quietly, they'll be thinking to themselves, let everybody talk about how great England are. Let everybody talk about how great Belgium are, and the Spanish, and the French with Mbappe. But we quietly think we've got a damn good chance of retaining, probably a better chance of retaining this European Championship with those players I just mentioned.
And it feels like a work in progress that he continues to build on Fernando Santos. We saw a more pragmatic Portugal back in Euro 2016 because there had been so many near misses in major international tournaments, and that served them well. But then he's continued to build on that, and we're perhaps seeing a Portugal that we're more used to, more flair, so good in possession.
Yeah, two attacking fullbacks, Cancelo from Man City, Guerrero from Borussia Dortmund. I don't think Fernando Santos now is going to get away with the Portuguese media and the Portuguese soccer fraternity of playing a boring style with all these guys. Because I think people will be saying, why are we not playing an attacking, entertaining style of football when we have all these players that I've mentioned? And I think somewhere down the line, he's just got to strike the right balance of not exposing that back line, but utilising all these great players in the final third. And of course, Cristiano will be fit probably, he'll be leading the line, he'll be captain, and when all these players are doing the donkey work, he'll be getting the headlines with the goals, trust me.
Yeah, one more goal and it's 100 for Cristiano Ronaldo as well. But don't forget all that great work, and that was without their superstar Cristiano Ronaldo, Dan. It's looking good for Portugal.
It certainly is, Kay. Well, we talked about this France game before and the problems that Griezmann had, but I tell you what about this from Kylian Mbappe? Little bit of luck there that the ball comes back to him. Now, initially you think, surely the goalkeeper's got to do better. Beaten it is near post. You can see here that little lucky deflection, but it's at this angle here. Now, take a look at this. Mbappe gets it through, and it's a little feint there, which just gets the goalkeeper with his weight on the wrong foot. Brilliant stuff from Mbappe. France then with the victory then puts them level on points with Portugal at the top of the table. Well, the action comes thick and fast on Sunday. Plenty of matches for you to look forward to. Spain in action against Ukraine. Also, it's Switzerland against Germany. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Interesting stuff from Alexis Sanchez on his time at United, saying sometimes there are things that you don't realise until you get there. And I remember the first training session I had, I realised a lot of things. After the session, I got home and I told my family and my agent, can you not rip up the contract to go back to Arsenal? Rafael, the former United defender, who we know is still a big United fan, hit back on Instagram saying maybe he saw a ghost and get scared. That explains why he plays so bad every time. Stevie, one training session. That was it. He knew the United move was the wrong one.
I have to tell you, I had a similar experience when I went to Notts County for Liverpool. The first day I thought, what have I done here? So I can understand. When you walk into something that's rotten, it takes you aback and you definitely question what you've done. At the same time, as far as how he played, listen, he was never fit, and then he's playing in a team that either just doesn't get on, doesn't like each other, is a bad mix. I mean, there was clearly just not a lot going for the team or any individuals at Manchester United at that period of time. And so I don't particularly blame him for being poor on the field because he was never fit.
Shaka, did you have a similar experience? Your first training session somewhere, you thought, uh-oh.
No, not at all. And to Stevie's point, I think the big difference is Steve's moving from Liverpool to Notts County. At the end of your career, a little bit of a step down. But Alexis Sanchez, he made his own bed. He was clearly unhappy, or certainly seemed to be unhappy, in the last few months of his time at Arsenal. He wanted that move. He spoke to Man City. But prefer to go to Manchester United. And then you get there and realise you've made a mistake. And I'm sorry. You get no sympathy
Shaq,
from me.
Shaq, isn't that worse?
That's your own making.
Surely that's worse. That you, listen, you understand when you take a drop in a level that it's not going to be what it was. And when I said that, it was nothing to do with the football. It was to do the atmosphere and everything about the place. The whole dressing room atmosphere, how the players thought about the board upstairs. I'm not talking about foot, I'm talking about just the general. But surely that's worse. Going to a place like Man United, one of the biggest clubs in the world, and the place is an absolute turmoil. That's a
my point
system,
is, Steve, you're stepping down. You know you're stepping down. You understand that. But he, as far as he's concerned, is stepping up. He had the opportunity to speak to Jose Mourinho at Manchester United. He had the opportunity to speak to Pep Guardiola at Manchester City. And he made that decision. I get no sympathy from me. None.
Oh, does he get any sympathy from you, Gab?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to hear the context. If it was more like the minute I got there, I realized I made a mistake. I don't think he's asking for sympathy. He's just kind of pointing out, man, I had a real nightmare there, and I knew straight away things weren't going to work out. Now, is it partly his fault? Sure, it's partly his fault because he wasn't fit and he should have played better. And, you know, maybe if his agent hadn't negotiated an enormous salary for him, you wouldn't have had all these jealousies which supposedly came up, and there wouldn't have been so much pressure on him. But, you know, this is the guy saying, I done screwed up. And I knew straight away. And personally, I like it when people are honest like that and come out and say stuff like this. He's not sitting there and he's not blaming Jose Mourinho or Phil Jones or whatever. He's just saying, hey, I got there and I screwed up.
Meanwhile, the shortlist was announced for the PFA Player of the Year. That's for last season in England. Remember, this is the players' vote. Six shortlist: Henderson, Van Dijk, Trent Alexander-Arnold and Mane, and then two Manchester City players, Kevin De Bruyne and Raheem Sterling. Stephen, if you were playing, who would you have voted for?
Oh, that's a tough one. I would have gone for Mane or De Bruyne, to be honest with you.
Right.
Had I been playing. But then I've got to add to that that a lot of it does depend on how they play when you actually play against them. Particularly when you play for another big side as well, so a lot of my decision would have been how they played against me. But I think probably one of those two will get it, either Mane or De Bruyne.
So not Jordan Henderson, though, who you thought should have won the Football Writers.
Yeah, I don't think he'll get it. No. I think the players tend, and my personal opinion, the players tend to go more for a bit of flamboyancy and goal scoring. Stuff like that, whereas the football writers, I think, look into things a little deeper than, say, the players.
Is that why you won the football writers, Stephen?
Well, let me tell you something. The guy who won the PFA award was the centre forward, and I won the sports writers award. So, the way I've just explained it to you previously would suggest that would be the case, Daniel.
Beautiful. No, I think that's nice. Shaka, who would you vote for?
I'd have gone for Sadio Mane, in all honesty. But let me offer my usual caveat here. I couldn't care less about the PFA players.
Did you vote when you were playing, Shaq?
But if you're forcing me to make a decision, I think Sadio Mane has to get it. I'm always going to lean a Liverpool player because they ran away with the league. And I felt Sadio Mane was the team's most important player this season.
Did you vote when you were playing, Shaq?
I did up until 1990. Nine, and then I stopped.
Oh, why did you stop?
Well, 1998-99, Manchester United won the treble, and somehow David Ginola won PFA Player of the Year, which made absolutely no sense to me. So I was like, this is a waste of my time. So I just stopped voting after that.
Gab, who would you vote? You're not allowed to vote. You could vote in the Football Writers. But who would you vote for this? And would it be different, by the way?
Look, this is a stupid award.
Oh.
It's a stupid award for Although I'm interested in it, that now, like, they released a shortlist now in September after the season's over, whereas, of course, in normal years, I mean, the guys would know better than me, but I think the deadline to submit your vote is something like February, and they award it ridiculously early, which is probably how David Ginola won it back in 1999. But maybe Stevie and Shaka, well, Shaka told us you just stopped voting for it, but you have heard so many stories about this, about PFA player reps filling out 25 ballots and nobody taking it seriously, and people, like, you know, writing four-letter words in on the ballot. Is not, I think, something to be taken particularly seriously. But out of those six, I would have gone with Trent Alexander-Arnold.
Why?
Why?
Yeah, Liverpool won the title. He's a good right back, blah, blah, blah.
ESPNFC's chief writer. Blah, blah, blah.
By the way, he slaughtered the players for not taking it seriously. Yeah. He just went blah, 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 blah.
Well, you know, no, you are actually, Stevie, my first and second choice for football writer player of the year this season aren't in this six-person shortlist. So, what do you want me to say?
Who did you want?
Join the Lemmings.
Well, can you tell us the two then?
The two were Alisson and Danny Ings.
Hold on, just a minute. Let me just add, Gab. In 1999, I think Ginola also won the Sports Writer Player of the Year, which again has nothing to do with players being silly with their ballots. I just find the whole system and process ridiculous.
Scott Parker won the Football Writers Player of the Year as well, because all of a sudden you have people deciding, oh, let's vote for him because he's a nice guy and he's got great character. There's no set criteria or that anybody follows. At least with the Football Writers, you've got people who watch a lot of football, pay attention to what's going on, and take the time to fill out their ballots. How many PFA members actually fill out real ballots themselves?
They voted for Ginola in 99. Ridiculous outcome.
Every day, Shaka wakes up angry about David Ginola.
Never again.
Never again. 21 years ago, remember? Desha, you remember that, yes? Stephen, did you vote or did you write four-letter words?
I've got to tell you, in the early 80s when I joined Liverpool, I just did what everybody else did. And at that particular time, it wasn't taken that seriously. I mean, the Scottish guys were filling out a Scotland team basically for the PFA awards. But I do have to say, kind of creep into the middle 80s, then it kind of turned around and actually people did take it seriously. So I'd have to say from probably 85 on, 86, it was done properly. But before that, no, it was a carry-on.
Did everyone else vote for Mark Hughes Stevie, in the Liverpool dressing room, Stevie?
What do you think? Stupid question.
But, Stevie, hang on. What I'm not clear on is, I'm assuming you had the rule back then that you couldn't vote for a teammate. So when you were at Liverpool, you couldn't vote for Rush or Barnes or Dalglish or whatever, and you guys were dominating the league. So what did you do?
Well, the rule was you either voted for the All Scotland team or you voted somebody who wouldn't win it, so that it wouldn't go against one of your teams.
Exactly.
Tactical.
But as I said, that changed, Gab. I would say probably around 85, 86 onwards that changed.
All right.
Got very serious. Then in 99, jumped the shark. That was it.
Clearly fell apart in 89.
Thank you very much, boys. ESPN FC back on your special guest, David Ginola, tomorrow alongside Shaka. We'll be talking about who winning those awards.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I tell you what, some great games for you on Sunday in MLS. Everywhere you look, there are mouth-watering ties. DC United take on NYCFC. You've got the Red Bulls against Philadelphia Union. Seattle Sounders then against Portland Timbers. And what a way to wrap things up. LA Galaxy against LAFC. All those games available on ESPN+. Well, that brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much, as always, for watching. Stay tuned, though, for Extra Time. Gab, Stevie, and Shaka answering your tweets. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you, as always, for your tweets. We'll try and keep this brief because Steve is excited about having ground beef tonight. What a moment. I haven't had that for a while.
Yes!
Honestly, the show, he's excited about it. When's the last time you had it, Stevie?
About 18 hours.
18 hours ago.
I've not had it for about 18 hours. Yeah.
Right.
Shaka,
after the anticlimactic news that Messi stays, did either of you think that they were getting a move somewhere they quite fancied going to, but it all fell apart?
You know, I nearly joined Celtic one summer.
Oh.
When I left, I was leaving West Ham. I knew the goalie coach up at Celtic was Terry Geno, who was my goalie coach at Newcastle, and he wanted me to come up there. But that was this summer, so this would have been 2002. What was his name again? Left Leeds, Martin O'Neill was the Celtic manager, and he was linked with the Leeds job. And he just disappeared. So if you remember back in 2002, there was a time where nobody could find Martin O'Neill anywhere. And I was sitting there waiting, you know, to see if the deal would go through. And nobody within the football club knew where he was. So nobody could sign off on the deal or move it forward or anything that happened. And at the same time, Harry was down at Portsmouth asking me to come down there and join them. So in the end, I think I waited like 3 weeks for Martin O'Neill to show up. He never did. I signed for Pompey.
Oh. What about you, Stevie?
I actually thought I was going to be joining Portsmouth as well at one stage. I was at Notts County, and after it had all gone horribly wrong...
Are you itching your leg? What are you doing?
I was thinking, I was trying to remember the name of the manager. I was doing this to think. Anyway, so I went down to Portsmouth. Terry Fenwick was the manager at the time. Went down to Portsmouth with my agent, sat down, talked to him. Talked about the football, talked about all the stuff, talked about the money, the whole thing. And he went, okay, said, I'm meeting the board next week and I'll let you know. Let's hope we can do something. And on the way back, I was kind of thinking, well, unless the board completely custard by this, it sounds as though it's going to happen. So I was kind of resigned that it was going to happen. I wasn't asking for stupid money. I was just trying to get out of Notts County. Anyway, I spoke to Terry Fenwick about 8 years later. 8 years. He said, I'll call you back probably in about a week's time. And I spoke to him 8 years later. I was with the reserves. I was with the Revolution in Trinidad and Tobago. He was coaching out there. And he came to the hotel to see me. He was like, hello. And I went, I said, you don't remember, you were going to call me back 8 years ago. And he's like, what are you talking about? It was almost like he didn't believe me. He had no recollection of me going there.
You don't live in Portsmouth. You don't want to go to Portsmouth anyway, Steve, is it?
That was lovely, Portsmouth.
Oh, really? Nah. So which part of Portsmouth did you live in, Shaka, when you were there? The Southampton part.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
On the border.
Yeah, right.
I've got a Portsmouth story as well, by the way.
Oh, what's your Portsmouth story?
I'm at the end of my time at Portsmouth. So I signed a 3-year deal there when I first signed. Coming to the end of my third year, probably about March, a director of the club comes to me and says, listen, we're going to offer you the player coach's job at the end of the season. So, you know, don't worry about it. Long term, we look after you. You know, so this is what, 2005, I'm 36 at this point. So I'm thinking, right, this is perfect. You know, I'll be coaching, and if they need me to play, I'm still coming and play. So I call my agent up. I'm like, yeah, Pompey about it. Oh, they said they're going to offer me the player coach's job at the end of the season. I'm good. This is me settled here for the long term. And then the day before the last game of the season, Alan Perrenny, manager, comes to me the day before and says, your surplus requirements, we can't keep you on. So now all of a sudden, I'm 24 hours out from being without a club, and I have to phone my agent up and have him go scrambling all summer to try to figure out where to get me placed.
Oh.
And that's how I ended up. I ended up at West Ham because they didn't have a goalie what was his name? Not Green, the guy from Man U. Who came there? They wanted somebody to be his backup.
How's your memory these days, Shaq? Going well?
Yes.
I got me all
flustered now telling those stories.
I have to offer a little apology. I've just looked at the questions and I forgot to put Gab on the tweet. So therefore, all these questions are for Stevie and Shaka, Gab, but fear not, we'll get you in. Shaka, was there any team or goalkeeper during your playing time that believed in playing out from the back?
Not a one.
No.
Not only were there no goalkeepers, there were no defenders who believed in playing out from the back. Didn't have that problem.
How would you have got on, Shaq?
Swimmingly.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely. For Stevie, what are your realistic expectations for Liverpool this season if they don't sign any players?
Challenging for the Premier League title, of course.
Challenging, not winning.
Well, I'm not going to start. Listen, I believe they're favourites. I believe they could win it. But I'd be stupid to say, it's a foregone conclusion. I'm just telling you, it's going to be between them and City. Who wins the Premier League this year? So,
what are your expectations for Liverpool, Gab?
Well, they've signed a reserve left back to begin with.
Right.
So
yes.
True, they haven't signed anybody. I also expect them to challenge for the title. I think it's pretty evident. I do think it'll be interesting to see how things pan out in midfield because, you know, on the surface, you expect Oxlade-Chamberlain, at least for me, you know, he can step into that Wijnaldum role, and you've got Curtis Jones, so you should be okay there. But maybe my concern is, you know, what happens with the three up front, and are there alternatives on the bench when somebody steps in? That would be my main concern.
Shaka, if you were playing right now, which club would you prefer to go to, Leeds or Aston Villa?
Leeds.
Stevie? I'm sorry, Shaka.
Leeds.
Sorry, Shaka.
No.
Carry on.
No, I'm done. I'm done now.
That's it? Which is a bigger club, Gab, Leeds or Aston Villa?
I mean, I think historically, I would probably lean towards Leeds also because they're the only show in town, whereas Aston Villa, there's many teams in their catchment area. So I would probably lean towards Leeds, although of course, as they like to remind us, Villa's won a European Cup, whereas Leeds had to make do with a Cup Winners' Cup, I believe.
Stevie, do you feel that sometimes that the international break broke your club rhythm?
Yes, 100%. Yeah, there's no question. When we were playing, we were travelling. We weren't travelling first class or any of that. I mean, you're talking about sitting in a middle row seat. So there was no first class anything. And so when you came back, you generally played on a Wednesday evening, whether it was home or away. Even worse if it was away, if you're behind the Iron Curtain or something like that on a Wednesday night, and you're travelling back. I would travel back to Scotland on a Wednesday night, get there at 2 in the morning, and then have to travel back to Liverpool on the Thursday. And if we were away at the weekend, I'd get on the bus on a Friday and travel somewhere to play on a Friday, or to travel on a Friday and then play on a Saturday. So everybody was knackered, So it completely took it out of everybody. Now, the only good thing was most of the teams were doing the same thing, so it kind of levelled its way out. But yeah, 100% that the internationals absolutely killed you for the weekend.
Shaka, would it be fair to say that these were the highlights of your season, the international breaks?
Yeah. The season kind of broke my rhythm for the international games.
Did you ever not come back in time for a game? Dwight, your
guess.
No,
guest. I always came back in time. Always.
Yeah? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right.
Always.
Can Chelsea get second place, Gab?
Yes, they can get second place. They can even get first place, but it would take, I think, not just Chelsea being a lot better, it would take something going seriously wrong at City and or Liverpool. But I do, I don't expect them to be as far away as they were last year, of course.
What's the most bizarre reason that you've seen players miss a match? Well, Stevie, you must have seen some in the years.
Oh, wow. I'm trying to think of what I can tell you. I can't think of one I can tell you. I've got three or four when I was coaching the Revs, but I can't tell you.
Didn't John Barnes... Was John Barnes at the Grand National, Stevie? When was that? When he did his hammy?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We played in the morning. We kicked off at 11 o'clock. Obviously, we won the game because you had to win the game or else you would be hearing about it for the rest of the week. And what we used to do, we used to park the bus probably about half a mile away from where the actual... where the boxes and stuff were that we were going to be at, which meant we had to walk along the side of the course. So on the way back, after it had all finished, Banzi and Alan Hansen and somebody else had a bet that Banzi couldn't do from one fence to the other in a certain amount of time. So of course Banzi, because he had a couple, took up the bet and did his hamstring. About 10 yards for the end of it. And he missed the next couple of weeks. But the thing is, he couldn't... See, normally when you're injured, you have to go in the... So if you're doing a Saturday, say, you have to go in for treatment Sunday morning, because the staff weren't stupid. If you turned up on a Monday for training and went, oh, I'm a bit tight this morning, the first thing they do is go, you couldn't be bothered getting up out of your bed yesterday to come in. You think we're stupid? So, of course, Barnsley couldn't do that. He couldn't turn up Sunday and go, by the way, I did my hammy at Aintree, trying to run past the fourth fence. You know what I mean? So he tried to be clever, and then he started training on Monday and then pulled up after about 5 minutes and gave it the old, oh, I'm a little tight. And Bugsy went like, oh, yeah. He says, I don't know what it is, he said, but you've been up to something. But they never found out. And he missed the next couple of games.
This off the back of Ronaldo, of course, getting stung by a bee, hence he missed the Portugal match. Shaka, anything spring to mind?
Nah, nothing like that springs to mind.
No, Gab? Any stories?
I mean, there's a lot of stories about people getting stupid injuries for different reasons. This is probably really, really painful, but I'm blanking on his name right now, but I think Stevie's rubbing off on me, but...
yeah, it's Stevie. Stevie.
Yeah, there was a guy a long time ago, I think at Catanzaro when they were in Serie A, I remember as a kid at the time, it was a famous injury. He had a Q-tip and was cleaning his ear. And he was on the bench, and he was the reserve goalkeeper, and it was late in the game, and one of his teammates jostled him, and he punctured an eardrum.
Oh.
And then when the keeper got sent off, he couldn't come on because he was in too much pain, and so that became sort of a running tragic joke. I want to say it was Catanzaro. It could have been somebody else, but yeah, it's one of those memories that you hear about.
What are you doing on the bench, Dan?
Probably best not to. Probably best to leave the ear hygiene for after the match.
Yeah, exactly. Don't stick anything in there.
Dan.
Yes.
It doesn't mean a snooker cue.
Yes, I know, but what is it? I know what a cotton bud is, but why would you be doing that? Why have you got that on the bench? Oh, look, it's a pool cue. I stick it in my ear.
What has he got a pool cue on the bench for?
What's he got a cotton bud on the bench for?
That's not what you're asking me for.
Oh, God.
Gab, who's your favourite player to watch these days besides Messi?
Wow. All these questions out of the blue. I really enjoyed watching Reece James play for Chelsea last season because, not only is he a gifted footballer, obviously very good going forward.
Oh. Well, that's...
Why you become a right back?
As
opposed to playing another position on the pitch. And I like to watch him and imagine him in different roles.
Oh.
he's a bit old school Gab, isn't he?
How do you mean?
Well, he looks like one of those classics. He's the guy that the crowd will be behind forever and a day.
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously being homegrown and he gets forward. But it is that thing, right?
It's
style. You played right back, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's one of those things, like, where when you're kids, your right back is generally the worst player on the team, right? And then as you grow up and you know, somebody's got to play right back. I'm sure most people who are playing right back at sort of under 13s level do not go on to become professional footballers. I know in his case, there's still some debate. You know, is he a midfielder? Is he a central defender? Is he a winger? What do you do with a guy like that? That's why I enjoy watching him.
Shaka?
I'm going to go Kevin De Bruyne, closely followed by Thiago Alcantara.
Oh, really? See, I like a bit of pace.
Yes, more traditional choices.
No one's asked me, obviously, but like Alphonso Davies, I like watching him. I liked watching Leroy Sané when he's in full flow. Mbappe as well. So I'd throw in my two pennies. Stevie?
Yeah. Traore. Van Dijk. I like all kinds. I like watching Aguero. Every time Aguero gets it, I sit on the edge of my seat. Mane. There's plenty of guys that I like watching.
Final question. Has Stevie been following any diet during the lockdown?
Yeah, right. Oh, dear. Well, there has been a couple of times where this little guy over here is going, right, it's about time you were on a diet.
Right,
and you need to watch what you're doing.
Okay.
And then this little guy over here is going, don't be daft, enjoy yourself. What for? You're stuck in the house.
So I went with this guy over here.
Yeah. How long does that go on, Steve? I imagine that's a very brief discussion.
Yeah, I don't take a lot of convincing from my mate over here.
That's it.
Put it that way.
And just obviously a health warning at the end of the show. Do not stick a billiard cue in your ear. It's very dangerous. Thank you very much. That brings us to the end of Extra
Time. Yes.
We'll be back tomorrow for more. Until then, goodbye.